16, but it goes up to chapter 16. I think that if you enrolled in a Christian home or in the Sunday school at any point in your life, then the account of David and Goliath will be very familiar to you. And that is what I want to consider very practical tonight. And just by way of introduction, we'll read a few verses from chapter 16, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil, and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. Verse 6. And it came to pass when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And Jesse made Shammah to pass by. He said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And, behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in, and he was running, and with all the beautiful contents, and goodly to look to him. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Chapter 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together, their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochah, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shochah and Azekah in Ephraim of David. And Saul and the men of Israel gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. His spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to them. If he be able to fight with me, and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and a man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. Verse 16. And the Philistine drew near, mourning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. Verse 22. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from before him, and were sore afraid. Verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hath thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down, that thou mightest see the battle. Verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art unable to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took him out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. My servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one of them, seeing he hath defied the the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord had delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Down to verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into thine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose, and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted, and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine, and David put his hand in his back, and took thence a stone, slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistine saw their champion was dead, I'll suffice my reading to know, I trust with the Lord's blessing. I'd just like to look at this account quite quickly this evening, and just look at the five headings, really. I want to think about the choosing of David, first of all. The choosing of David. And then I want to think about the care of David. And then we'll think about the crisis that he had. And then we'll think about the confidence of David. And finally, think about David as the conqueror. So the choosing of David, the care of David, the crisis that he faced, and the confidence that he had. And David as the conqueror. Now I'm sure that in a company like this that there will be many of us who have what we might deem as a Goliath before us. And that Goliath that you might have in your life might come in different problems and difficulties and cares and concerns that you might have in your life at this moment in time. And the Goliath that you face in your life at this moment may be well different from the Goliath that I'm facing, and different from the Goliath that other people are facing in this assembly. It might be that you think that this Goliath-like problem that you have before you is insurmountable, and you wonder how we can possibly overcome it and deal with it and make progress with this Goliath-like issue in front of you. Now that Goliath-like issue might be opposition that you might face at school or university. It might be problems with regard to employment. It might be family issues or assembly issues. It might be to do with your health. It may be that you're looking to the Lord as to direction, as to your life, as to where you work, or which university you are to go to, or to which assembly you should be part of, or what your gift is, or perhaps you're looking to the Lord as to what you will do with your life or which partner you should have for life. Now, all of these issues might be the Goliath that stands in front of you, and these Goliath-like issues might be constantly upon your mind. They can overtake your life to a certain degree, and you sometimes can't think about anything else. And sometimes, even though you're praying about them, they might seem to be more questions than answers with regard to this issue. And these thoughts dominate your life, and perhaps the opposition seems relentless. And I just want to see how David dealt with the Goliath-like issue before him. Now, of course, if we were to look at David as a character, we could look at David in a number of different ways. We can think of him as a son. We could have thought of him tonight as a shepherd. We could have thought of him as an armor bearer. Or perhaps we could have looked at him as a king, or perhaps the psalmist. Now his name means beloved, and I just want to think just for a minute or two about how David is described in Scripture. For example, we read in 1 Samuel chapter 16 that he's described as the youngest, or the least. He's described as one who keepeth the sheep and one who was ruddy, with all of a beautiful countenance. He was goodly to look to, the scripture says. He was cunning in playing, a mighty, valiant man, a man of war, which was, he was trained in the use of weapons. He was a comely person, he was handsome, fine looking. And the scripture says of him that the Lord is with him. And so, not only can we see how that David is described in scripture, but also we can see how that David is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, from the very fact that his name means beloved. And he was from Bethlehem. We've just mentioned the fact that he was with all of a beautiful countenance. And if we were to go into the New Testament and read in Acts chapter 13, we read he was a man after God's own heart. He's also described in Psalm 89, David is described as my servant. And of course we know he's a keeper of sheep. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ could say, I am the good shepherd. David, of course, was sent by his father. There was a time when Jesse sent David. And we know that the father sent the son to be the saviour of the world. Now, of course, David faced much opposition. And so did the Lord Jesus Christ while he was down here. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. We know also that David was counted as worthless, and so with the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, as we see David go down into the valley, we see a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming down and stooping down so low. And yet, we see one who saw a great picture in the life of David, and also in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lowly, yet raised to a throne. Now, as we think about the choosing of David, first of all, we read a few verses in 1 Samuel chapter 16. I just want to think about the choosing of David. It's interesting, isn't it, that the first time we read about Saul, he's looking for the lost donkeys of his father Kish. But actually, when we come to think about David, the first time we read about David, he is keeping sheep. Now, Samuel is told that he is to go to Jesse, for there he will find one to anoint as king. And I just want to pick out three statements that made a big impression on me as I was looking at these verses at the beginning of chapter 16. When Samuel is told to go to Jesse to select a man to be king, notice that he says three things. That he's told three things. First of all, in verse 1, he's told, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. So I will send thee. Then he says, I have provided thee. Later on in that verse, he said, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And then in verse 3, he says, I call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. So he's told three things. First of all, he's told, I will send him. Then he's told, I have provided. And then he's told, I will show thee what thou shalt do. You know, if we're going to do a work for the Lord will do exactly those things for us. If we are going to do a work for him, and we're willing to do that work, and we're gifted to do that work, first of all, he will send us. And he has a work for each and every one of us to do. And he will send us to do a work. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to go to another country to do that. You know, the work that we have to do is all around us. It's all around this hall. It's all around where you live. It's all around this town and the town that I belong to. There is so much for us to do. And the Lord says, I will send him. But not only will he send us, but he will also provide for us to do that work. He's not sending us out empty-handed and no support and no backup, nothing there for us. The Lord is with us. And he will send us. We all have a work to do. This is not just for the elders of the assembly. This is not just for people that have been on the Christian pathway for many years. Each and every one of us has a work to do. We have a responsibility in the assembly to which we are part to serve him and to give our all and our efforts and our energies into the service of the Lord. And he says, I will send thee. But not only I will send thee, but he says, I will provide for thee. And not only will I provide for thee, but he says, I will show thee what thou shalt do. He provides everything for us to be able to serve the Lord. So it's the Lord who sends. He has a work for each and every one of us to do. He will then provide for us, and not only will he provide, but he will show us and guide us as to what we will do and the words that we will speak. So it's nothing of self. He says, I will send them. And he says, I will provide for them. And he says, I will show you. Now, not only do we have that here, and you will probably think of others as well, but I thought of at least two others that we can think about when that happened. I was thinking of Moses. Moses was told, I will send thee. I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Then he's told, I will provide for thee. He says, he tells him about a land that's flowing with milk and honey. He's going to provide. And then he says, I will show thee. And he says, what is that in my hand? And he uses the rod to show to him that he will be with him in every aspect of the work that he had to do. I thought also that Jeremiah was told exactly the same thing. I will show thee, I will send thee, I will provide for thee, and I will show thee. As far as Jeremiah was concerned, in chapter 1, verse 7, he says, I will send thee. He says, thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. He said, I have provided for thee as well. I have provided, I have put words in thy mouth. And then he says, I will show thee. I will set thee over nations, over kingdoms, to root out and to pull down. So in each of these cases, and you will be able to think of others, I'm sure, that each of those three statements are true. But you know, in each of those three cases, those people that were given that work to do, there was initial opposition. For example, Samuel said, when he was told that he was to go, he says, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. Initial opposition. And Moses did exactly the same thing. He gave four reasons why he couldn't possibly be the man to go to Pharaoh. And he made excuses. He says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Not possibly for me. And they won't believe me if I told them. So he makes excuses. And Jeremiah did exactly the same thing. Having been told to go and to give the message, he said, I cannot speak. He says, for I'm a child. And he made excuses. Now, what do you want to Maybe there's a work that you know that the Lord has brought before you. It may not be, as we've said, another country, but just here, in this assembly, in this place. And the Lord is sending you to do a work. And he's providing you and showing you what you should say and what you should speak. And yet, we make excuse after excuse why it can't possibly be me. Or why we couldn't possibly speak to that person the gospel, or give that tract, or I will certainly make excuses. I have provided me a king. You know, when Saul was king, the nation wanted a king. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations. 1 Samuel chapter 8. They wanted a king, and God gave them Saul. And as far as the Lord Jesus Christ, they could ask, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And they could say, hail, king of the Jews, mocking him with a crown of thorns and a reed in a purple robe. And they could write over the cross, this is Jesus, the king of the Jews. And so Jesse's sons were brought before Samuel. First of all, Eliab. And immediately he saw Eliab and thought, this is the man. This has got to be the man. This is the man to be king. And yet he's told he's not. And same with Abinadab and Shammah. And so he's told, the verse that we so often quote, man look upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You know, sadly, some people abuse that verse to say, well, it doesn't matter how we approach the assembly, how we come to the assembly, because man look upon the outward appearance, but it's the heart that matters. And some have said, well, it doesn't even matter if we even come to the assembly, because, well, at the end of the day, man look upon the outward appearance, but it's also the heart that matters. We know those things are not true. From the scriptures, we know that they're not true. But man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You see, we can look right to our family. We can look right to fellow believers. We can look right to the elders. But the Lord knows our heart. Our motives, our desires, our innermost thoughts. I wonder what does the Lord see when he looks upon my heart. know, there's another way of looking at that, of course, because it may look as if everything is fine as far as we're concerned, but it may be that we are struggling spiritually in our life. Man looketh on the outward appearance, and as far as the assembly is concerned, they see you coming and going, and everything seems fine. But actually, just within your life, at this moment in time, you have a Goliath-like issue, and you just, it's tough. You're struggling. Well, the opening hymn couldn't have been any better, could it? God cares. And he knows each and every issue that we have. So the question is asked, as the sons of Jesse are brought before Samuel, are here all thy children? And he's told, there remaineth yet the youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. It's almost as if Jesse didn't seem worth even bringing David in front of Samuel. Just David, just the youngest. And he's just keeping sheep. Well, when he's brought, he's told, arise, anoint him, for this is he. This is the eighth son, of course, and eight, the number of new beginnings. And so we find David anointed, and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon David, and we find in verse 14 that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. So even though he was anointed, I notice that even though he was anointed, David doesn't immediately place himself in the palace, sets himself as king. No, he's prepared to wait God's time. He's been anointed, but it's all in God's time. God's in control. And he wouldn't force his way into the palace. And how amazing is it? Because God is in control, we shouldn't be surprised. But David's brought into the palace. But God's brought him there. The one who is cunning in playing and prudent in matters, a comely person, is brought to appease King Saul. The choosing of David. But what about David's care? And when we think about David's care, I'm really thinking about preparation for the battle that is yet to come. Goliath will yet stand before him. And so David's care, David's preparation, David the shepherd boy from Bethlehem. And while he was looking after the sheep, this was a time of preparation. The battle wasn't yet. The Goliath-like issue wasn't yet in front of him, but this was a time of preparation, and the time looking after sheep was not wasting time. This was a time when he got to know his God. Remember what he says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. He's getting to know his God while he's caring for the sheep. This is not wasting time. This time spent alone was time of preparation. Because there would come a day when there was going to be a time of battle. Now, we started by saying at the beginning that there could be a Goliath-like issue in front of you at this moment in time. But maybe you're sat there thinking, well, actually, in my life, there isn't. There isn't a Goliath-like issue. Well, first of all, I think you should be thankful to God that there isn't. But I can pretty much guarantee that if the Lord doesn't come, there will be one day. So this time that you have now is where David is, caring for sheep. And he's not wasting that time. He's preparing. And that time he spent was time spent getting to know his God, which prepared him for the time when he was standing before Goliath. So let's not waste our time in our life. You might be going through a time at this moment in time and things are going well. You might not have great responsibilities that are upon your shoulders. Dear friend tonight, can I beg of you? Don't waste that time. If you haven't got a Goliath-like issue in your life, get to know your God. Learn from the lessons that maybe the guy that stood on the platform tonight, wasting time. Learn lessons from my life. And give your all in this time now to getting to know your God and spending time in his word, because there may be just a battle just around the corner. David used his time wisely, honing his skills for the sling. I'm sure that when he used the sling before Goliath, that wasn't the first time he used it. The time spent caring for the sheep, he was using it and
using and honing his skills. And so the time we spend now in getting to know our God and spending time in the Word of God is in preparation for what might be before. You know, Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He didn't do that because his back was against the wall. He didn't know which way else to turn. He'd been praying 3 times a day for a long time. So let's not just go to scriptures and just go to our knees when we're facing difficulties, or when we have been asked a question about our faith and what we stand for as a Christian. No, then just turn to the scriptures. The Holy Spirit cannot bring scriptures to your mind that you have never read. So let's get to know the goodness and the faithfulness of God, one who was a deliverer. And it was only because of him getting to know his God, David could with confidence stand before God. And he acknowledges the hand of God enabling him to defeat the lion and the bear. Remember what we read in chapter 17, verse 37. The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And he says in Psalm 34, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You see, our God is able to deliver us from the issues that we may have and help us through the issues that we may have in our life. The choosing of David, the care of David. What about David's crisis? Because there were a number of crises that he faced. David and the opposition. Now, there were 3 forms of opposition that I wanted to think about. The obvious one, of course, is Goliath. There is further opposition from his brothers and also opposition from King Saul himself. His brother Eliab said, why have you come? And with whom have you left those few sheep? You almost hear the disdain in his voice, kind of, just those few sheep. David, what are you doing here? And with whom have you left those few sheep? And Saul himself said, thou art not able to go against this Philistine, for thou art but a youth. Opposition. Now, as far as conditions at the time were concerned, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. The nation, it says, if we look at verse 11 and verse 24, it says that the nation, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Verse 11, chapter 17, and also verse 24, when they saw the man fled from him and were sore afraid. The thought of being dismayed is they were broken, they were beaten down, and they were shattered. That's what it means to be dismayed. As far as being afraid and fearful. And it was at this point, and when the nation were in that position, and that the nation was seemingly at their weakest, then comes Goliath. Of course, as we think about Goliath, we can view Goliath as a picture of the devil. Seeking to challenge and question and weakness so that we might have no strength to continue. You see, the devil wants us to be discouraged. He wants us to be greatly afraid. He wants us to be broken, to be shattered. And ultimately, he wants us to flee and to give up. That's exactly what the devil wants us. To think that the Goliath-like issue in front of you cannot be defeated, there's no point in trying, and I don't know why you're bothering anyway, so just throw it all over. That's what the devil wants us. But David did none of these things. And it may be that you feel discouraged at this moment in time. You might feel downcast and disheartened. But despite the opposition and the state of the nation, God has his man, at his time, in his place. And that's the same reason every one of us here today. God has not placed you and saved you by chance. Mm-hmm. And God has not placed you in the assembly to which you belong by chance. You're here for a reason. And God has a plan for your life, and he has a work for you and for me to do. Now, we might look back and remember those who the Lord has taken into eternity, and they were a great help to us. But we missed them. And others, the Lord might have just moved them to one side through ill health. But you and I are the man and the women to serve God now. Are we going to waste that time? Are we going to do nothing? Are we going to say, Well, the world's so bad. Sin is so big. And we can't possibly make any progress in this world. So let's just keep our head down. Don't stick your head above the parapet. Let's stay in the comfort zone. That's not what the Bible teaches. David was prepared for the battle. He spent time with his God. He was prepared when the opposition came, how he was going to face Goliath, because of the time spent alone with God. What about us? You know, sometimes God uses the most unlikely. Now, I don't think any one of us would have chosen David to face Goliath. I've been looking for the biggest. And so, whoever was the biggest had a prop, so putting somebody on his shoulders as well. We need somebody big to face Goliath. No. Now, God uses the harp-playing shepherd boy. The most unlikely. And you might think you're the most unlikely person that God can use, yet God has a plan and a work for you and I to do. Now, the time to do that is running to an end. We believe the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is very near. We're about to press the tape, as far as this life is concerned. So let's not down tools now. Let's not throw in the towel now. Let's give our all in these last days of our service for him. Choose you a man. If you fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants, or you shall be our servants. When you knew the scripture, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I noticed that not one of the nation was prepared to go and face Goliath. Saul would have been the obvious man, of course. He was head and shoulders above the ball. He was the obvious choice. Saul wasn't going to go. I noticed that David's brothers, who were at the battle, they weren't going to go either. None from the nation of Israel. And yet, Jesse sends David to see how his brethren do. The father sending the son. The father sent the son to be the saviour of the world. He rose early in the morning. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ did that. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 tells us that he rising a great while before day. We notice also that David ran. A number of times he ran. Verse 22, he ran into the army and saluted his brethren. Verse 48, he ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Verse 51, he ran and stood upon the Philistine. He was marked by an eagerness and an obedience. I wonder whether we're like that with regard to service for the Lord. As far as gathering together with the Lord's people, I trust we're all involved in all the activities of the assembly, putting our all into all the activities, supporting even if we can't be there, praying about those activities, but eager and keen to serve and to work for the Lord. But then opposition from his brothers. Eliab said, why have you come down? With whom have you left those few sheep? We may face opposition from the world. Sadly, we may face opposition from other believers. Maybe other believers that are not living as they should. Maybe other believers that are marked by apathy, lethargy. Others not going to meetings and living a different life away from the assembly. But we need to stand strong. And we need to show where our priorities lie. Serving him is the priority. Gathering together with the Lord's people is a priority. And so David was the man that God had for that moment in that place. And so the opposition from Goliath was relentless. The opposition we may face may seem to be the same. Day after day, Goliath came. It was relentless. It was ongoing. It was never ending. The Philistine drew near, it says, morning and evening. Now perhaps we face opposition like Goliath, and how can we possibly face up to it, defeat it, overcome it? When will it end? David had a crisis. But what about his confidence? It says, let no man's heart fail because of him. David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. The confidence of David I will go. I will serve. I will fight. Here is the voice of experience and confidence. It's easy to get cast down. It's easy to get disheartened. And this is exactly what the devil wants. He wants us to look at our situation. He wants us to look at the Goliathite issue that's before us and say it's hopeless. What's the point? There's no point in carrying on. That's exactly where the devil wants us. David's response was one of confidence. He said, I will go and fight, relying and leaning completely upon his God. You see, our source of strength is in the Lord. We can only face the opposition that we're facing, the Goliath-like issue that's in your life and in my life. We can only face that and defeat it and overcome it because our source of strength is in the Lord. He knows what we're going through. He hasn't promised to take us out of it. He's promised to be with us through it. And so the opposition keeps coming. Opposition from Saul. Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. You're not able. That's what the devil wants us to hear. You're not able. You're not able. You can't cope. You can't defeat it. You can't overcome it. David says, the Lord will deliver me out of the paw of the lion and out of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine, for our God is able. So Saul arms David with his armour. Saul would rather rely upon the armour than rely upon God. And yet we should use what God provides for the battle. Not what man thinks, but what God provides. The battle is the Lord. So David stands before Goliath, but the giant disdains him. The thought is he despised him, he lays scorn upon him, he counts him as worthless. Is that not what he did with the Lord Jesus Christ? Counted him as worthless, Luke 23, Herod and his men of war set him at naught and mocked him. They counted him as nothing, to make of no account. They despised him. That's what Goliath did with David. But this is where David uses his experience. The time that he has spent with God while caring for the sheep. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. He said, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. This day, will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. Five smooth stones. We've been told, haven't we, many times, as we think about the Lord Jesus Christ as the five smooth stones of the Old Testament, that the Lord Jesus Christ, wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. New Testament, five smooth stones, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sins, higher than heaven. Five smooth stones. Our time has gone. David the conqueror, so David prevailed. Over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, victory was his. He was a conqueror. Here the wonderful thing is, every time we meet together, every single time, we're remembering the greatest victory that's ever taken place. Every single time we meet together, the greatest victory that has ever taken place. So victory can be ours, not gained in our own strength, but in the power of his mind. So two messages. David and Goliath. It may be that you haven't got a Goliath-like issue in your life at the moment. Praise God for that. But in the meantime, get to know your God and use it as a time of preparation. Don't waste time. Younger ones, you have more time than you will ever have in your life. Because as time moves on, and you get older like me, that time gets squeezed and squeezed and squeezed by responsibilities that you have from all different angles. Maybe you do have a Goliath-like issue at the moment. Dear friend tonight, I just want to encourage you to stand firm and stand strong, because I know it's not easy. And I cannot maybe appreciate the lifelong issue that's in your life at this moment in time, but God knows. And God appreciates it, and he's with you every moment of every step through that issue. Remember that he is able. And remember that we can deal with this issue not in our own strength, but victory can be ours if only we will trust in him. David didn't turn and run from the opposition. Nor did he suddenly turn to God for the first time. But the help from God in the past, and the confidence that he had in God, and the time that he had spent with God alone, he draws from that, and he sees a great victory. The devil, of course, wants us to feel disheartened. And he wants us to give up. He wants us to think that the Goliath-like issue before us cannot be defeated, and there's no point in trying. But we have an almighty and all-powerful God. And so as we think about the choosing of David, and also the care of David, and the crisis that he faced, and the confidence that he had in his God, but also what a great victory, David the Conqueror. And I'll leave you with one verse. In Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7 says this, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." Father, we come to my first and give you thanks for this time we're going to spend together, firstly in prayer, and also around our precious word. We thank you for the great privilege of prayer that we have available to us. We thank you for my word. We thank you for the privilege that we have.